NRP, S2E24, Internet Relay Chat, IRC. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This week, we're going to be talking about Internet Relay Chat, aka IRC. If you've been on the internet for a long time, like me, I was on it back in the old days. Anyway, if you've been on it for a long time, you know what Internet Relay Chat is. It's chat rooms. This is even before, like, AOL chat rooms. You know, back in the day, you'd connect and you'd join a text chat and black desktop and green text, you know, stuff like that. But Internet Relay Chat, now, why is this still relevant today? Because it's such an old and archaic system, well, it's still in use today. There's still a lot of servers with a lot of people on them. And also, a lot of systems like Ustream.tv use it. They use it with a flashy interface so you connect through the site and you'd never know it unless you went on their site and said, hey, wait, I can join with my IRC client and I can use commands that will change my nick and do all kinds of things. Well, awesome. But yeah, I used IRC for a long time before I really started going, well, wait a minute, what is this thing I'm using? Because I just thought, you know, back when you first get it, it's like, oh, this is a thing for this one site that uses it. Like, no, IRC is a thing, it's a standard, and you can connect to all kinds of different servers, and it's not really you know, a lot of people, they connect over the website now, and so they don't even know that there's a server that you can connect to, and you don't even have to be at this website anymore. So, let's talk about what you need to connect to an IRC server. If the server is out there, that's the place you're connecting to. You need a client to connect to it. Now, there's a lot of different ways to connect these days. If you're on Windows, just get MIRC. It's the oldest, it's the most commonly accepted. There's all kinds of scripting and coding you can do if you want. It has all kinds of features. Just go with it. It's what everybody uses. There's all kinds of ways to change it and make it look the way you want. Also, if you're on OS X, there's Colloquy, which is the more OS X-like experience. If you're on an Apple machine, you're kind of used to things looking a certain way and being able to customize and restyle things. And also, there's Lincolnus, which the desktop version of that costs money. The desktop version of Colloquy doesn't, but the mobile version, if you're on an iPad, iPhone, costs like $2. So it's negligible. Now, MIRC on Windows has a very robust scripting language, and Lincolnus is similar in some respects. It has aliases. It's a little bit easier to write simple scripts. Colloquy, it supports a lot of languages. You can write Python. You can write AppleScript. There's a lot of things it supports. It's just finding examples of it. If you're a code guy, I think it's a lot easier because you know how to do it. As you know, a guy like me, I had to find examples and play around with it. But it's interesting, and I like it. And the whole free angle doesn't hurt. Also, if you're just wanting to connect from the web, I mean, a lot of servers now have a thing where you can just connect from the website of the server, but if you want to have a dedicated installed client, you can also use Chatzilla on Firefox, which is a web client, and also Mibit.com. You can connect from this website. Put in all your information. You don't even have to have an installed client on your machine. You can do it all from the web, which is pretty crazy. Servers. There's a lot of servers out there, and it's so easy to set one up, but the biggest one is probably Dalnet. There's also Undernet, Fnet, and I'm going to mention WildRide because Chris Perillo uses it. You know, like I said, Ustream.tv, they have their own IRC server, but if you want, you can tell them, hey, don't put your server on my channel. I want to use this particular one, and he uses WildRide because a lot of techie and nerdy people on there and whatnot. And it's a smaller server, and he knows the people that are behind that one. And I've been on it. It's pretty solid. And it's also a lot smaller. The thing about places like Dalnet, Fnet, Undernet, there's a crap load of people. There's a crap load of... The thing about that is those have multiple servers. You know, there's like, you know, three or four different servers that are running the same network. And therefore, there's just, you know, there's... NetSplits are a popular thing where the servers disconnect between each other and you lose people in the chats. But also, things like WildRide, they're smaller, so they're a little bit easier. So yeah, there's all kinds of servers. I know with MIRC, there's a server list that comes with it, and I think Mibit has one too. Maybe Chatzilla. I haven't used Chatzilla personally, but you can find a lot of servers. If you have somebody says, hey, connect to this one server, you can get the information and then connect to it with your client once you pick out a client that works for you. To just start using IRC, you just pick your nickname and you can register it so that way nobody else can take it and steal your identity, and you can connect to a server, connect to a channel, and just start talking to people. You might, you know, might be people there that you know already. Now, the question is, starting a server, should you? Probably not. But there are instances where you might want to. Now, I've known people that have started servers, and they've tried to do it in a way that, say, I want to take down this other popular server, and I'm going to get all their traffic, and it's like, I've seen people do the same thing, not just with chat servers, with internet radio stations and websites and a lot of things where people think, I'm going to come in and I'm going to automatically become popular, and then they don't do the work of going, hey, you have to actually run a good service, and you actually have to try and promote and get people to actually come to your thing. You can't just open it and then disappear for 6 months, then go, hey, how come nobody's using my stuff? I'm going to shut this thing down. Like I was saying, don't try and say you're going to become the next Dalnet, because it took them years to get where they are, and realistically, unless you are, like, hardcore into it, I wouldn't put that as your goal. But maybe you're a project manager running a team of people, and you just want to have a thing where you can control that you don't have to worry about somebody else's system being down, or maybe you have a particular wants and needs, particular scripts that you want to run, particular services you need, or maybe you just want to control who gets access to it. Maybe you've got a small team and you want to have a local machine in the studio, you know, in your office. Maybe you have an international team and you want to control how, you know, a place, make it easy for people of this one, you know, connection, because getting people to connect across borders and dealing with things, I mean, you got to pay attention to things like port forwarding and allowing, you know, certain, you know, it's a lot to set up to make sure a connection works over the internet. But if you're working locally, and, you know, the people that you're trying to get to connect, if you know how to set things up, it's fairly easy to get a port forwarded and say, okay, let people come in and chat on this one machine. To talk about that now, let's talk about IRCDs, IRC daemons. IRCDs, I'll link a nice Wikipedia article about them, and also link an IRCWiki.org comparison chart about what features and what platforms are supported by each one. I'm going to talk about three I think run fairly well. There's Unreal, InspireCD, and Beware IRCD. Now, Unreal is what the majority of servers I've been on use. InspireCD is similar. I think it's more, is it Undernet that uses it? It's a slightly different setup. And then, but Beware IRCD is a nice one to set up on a local machine. A simple, like, you can run it on a desktop, easy. It's easy to open, easy to configure. And it also works if you've got, you know, a small team of, like, you know, 10, 20 or so people that want to connect to a chat room. It's, you know, that's the easiest option. Unreal, you know, big, huge servers use it. And you can configure with a text file and just set certain settings. You know, you can do the very bare-bones setup, which is easy, or configuring it specifically for your needs. You can spend months setting things up. That's IRCDs. They're easy, you know, certain systems use them. Like most things, IRC and certain things run probably better on Linux systems, actually. But, you know, if you've got a spare desktop and you want to run a Windows version, it's easy to get a hold of. That's how I did it when I had a desktop and, a spare laptop, and I wanted to try out different IRCDs 1 week, try and get myself used to them. Now let's talk about services. Services are basically things that you use on IRC. You can use things like NickServe to manage nicknames or usernames. It's technical, the difference between the two, but nicknames is what you use when you change, you know, your name that you appear in the chat room. Also, things like sending memos, MemoServe, or BotServe. If you're running a channel that's very busy and you don't have enough actual people watching the channel that are operators on it that can control the channel. The way IRC works is that there's server operators, there's channel owners, channel operators, channel administrators, channel half-ops, and then voice users are just the trusted ones that if, say, somebody comes in and starts spouting obscenities and starts, you know, just trying to flood the chat room with meaningless stuff to annoy everybody or cause trouble, they can lock the room kick that person out, and then only the people that are voiced, that are they know are good, can talk. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with IRC. You can use /ignore to just ignore somebody, which is a great thing. I mean, I personally don't want to have to ignore people because back in the day, I would have considered that a little bit of cowardice to just ignore. But nowadays, it's like, why feed trolls? I realize trolls on the internet are just there to try and get attention, and if you put them on ignore, I mean, you know, message boards have a nice thing where people will post stuff, but no real users will ever see it, only they will, and that's kind of cruel, but also kind of funny. So anyway, but yeah, you can use ignore, ignore certain colors, you know, a person's, you know, certain lines of code to strip out the color of a person's messages, because a lot of people like to use bright and colored scripts to make their text look pretty to them, or you know, stylized, and it's like, I don't know. I don't speak lead speak, guys. I'm sorry. But yeah, as long as we're talking about that, real quick, services. There's Anopi. I've also seen a theme, which looks pretty nice. And Beware IRC services, which, you know, if you're using Beware IRCD, it's kind of a no-brainer to use that. Let's talk about scripts. Scripts are automated things you use in chat. Either you can use, like, you know, frequently asked questions. Like, somebody asked this question, you just pop up the, you know. I know with Anopi services that whenever somebody has a help question, there's a helper serve thing that will describe in a pop-up of what the person, you know, if you're an operator on that channel or on that server, and somebody asks, how do I do something, you just click their name and it'll make a little message that tells them. Chat scripts. There's TroutSlap, which is the IRC classic. It's basically, you click on a person's name and it says, slap so-and-so around a bit with a large trout. Don't ask me why this caught on, it's quite funny. It's a bare-bones example of a pop-up, or an alias, as it might be known to some people, where you can take a person's name and then do an action in the chat room with them, which, a very simple way of doing this is /me, and then the action. So you can say, /me dances, and then it'll say, you know, your name dances. And, you know, Skype uses this, where you can do little actions, and it's, you know, very, I didn't know this for the longest time, and then when I discovered it, I could not stop doing it. It's a little hardwired into my, you know, when I'm on a server that, when I'm talking to somebody in a chat application that doesn't use it, I constantly have to go back and do the little asterisk thing or the whatever, you know. That. But yeah, there's bots, there's, like I said, there's a bot server on certain services if it's available, which help people that run channels. There's also Eggdrop and a number of other, you know, there's, you can write bots in all kinds of, all types of languages that can do all kinds of things that can only answer to you. Different, you know, you can have a, you know, if you run a busy channel, you can have a bartender bot that just talks to guests or whatever, you know, different things. And also, let's talk real quickly, if you're running a certain client, if you're running MIRC, you know, Hawkey has a whole bunch of scripts. If you're running Lincolnus, Conceited Software's website has a bunch of example scripts. And also, Colloquy had an extras section, but I think it's down now. I don't know if they're getting rid of it or what. I know they support a lot of languages. They support Python. They support Apple scripting, which is nice if you want to tie something into your machine. Like, say, you know, whenever somebody says, hey, what's playing on the station? And, you know, you've got an internet radio station running from iTunes. You can just say, what's running on iTunes? Or what's so-and-so listening to? It would just pull up an, you know. And that's just a simple way to explain. You can also, you can make things so they reference a web page and copy and paste information from it. You can do a lot of things. You can run a database. The thing is, that's a lot of chains to keep an eye on. And in my limited experience with coding, the more links in a chain, the more chance something's going to get kinked up. It's an important thing to watch for. So, in summary, if you want to set up your own channel, it's pretty easy to do on almost any server. If you're wanting to set up your own server, it might take you like a weekend to get it the way you want it, but it's pretty easy to do. If you're wanting to, you know, play around with scripts and whatnot, that's another thing I've known people that spend their downtime on their weekends working on. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you all on the other side. more, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.